Good afternoon. Come in, come in. Let me offer you a glass of sherry, a tale or two, and perhaps one of my priceless antiques.
Tales of Antiquity. Stories of the romantic past captured through the eyes and ears of Eustace Green, collector extraordinary. His story for today,
Forget-Me-Nots. There you are, one of my finest Madeiras. Hope you enjoy it. Now, this afternoon I have something very special. A silver penknife. It's dated 1862, and round about the same time, this very unusual silver locket, made by Rundell, Bridge and Rundell, and designed by the sculptor Edward H. Bailey, who usually designed on a much grander scale. They both were gifts to a Mr. Fred Groves by Lady Maud Montrose. Let me tell you their story. It's quite a touching little tale. Fred Groves had been a widower for 40 years. His wife Mary had died when giving birth to their stillborn daughter. Fred had loved his wife dearly and hadn't the heart to put another in her place. Over the years, Fred Groves had grown bitter, resenting the happiness of other young couples and the pleasure they had from their little ones. Fred was a gardener like his father before him. It was all he knew. Soil, flowers, shrubs, evergreens. He'd had his own market garden when he first married, a small town a mere 40 miles from London, but on his own he'd lost heart, and the place quickly ran to seed. But when the local vicar asked him if he would care to tend the tiny churchyard of St. Luke's, Fred accepted gladly, feeling somehow that it might bring him closer to his loved ones, working so close to them. For 30 years, Fred tended the graves, trimmed the borders, and ensured that the beds were ablaze with flowers. However, Fred's life took on a subtle change in the spring of 1880. It had been a fine day, warm, with a touch of thunder in the air. There were one or two visitors pottering about the graves with flowers for their loved ones or simply gazing at the inscriptions. Fred was busy with a bit of reading.
Afternoon, Fred.
It's you, Tom. Afternoon.
Them blue daisies are coming on a treat.
Get me nuts, you daft apis. Hey! Hey, you, get off! Look at that little minx over there. Why, yes, it's you! You! Hey, don't you know that that property's private? Can't go thumping your dirty great feet all over it like that.
Excuse me, my good man. I do not have great feet. Mama tells me I have exceedingly dainty feet.
Well, that's as may be. It don't alter the fact that that bit of ground belongs to the Roman Crozies, not just...
I happen to be Lady Maud Montrose.
Well, that's a likely one. A little and not you, a lady. Go on, pull the other one. It's got bells on.
Oh, perfectly vulgar. As a matter of fact, I was born a lady. Papa was a marquis, and Mama is Lady Ethel Montrose, Marchioness of Blaise. Goodies, don't you know your peerage?
Well, I'll be... Your ma, the marchioness...
Maud! Do come along, dear. The carriage is waiting.
That's Mama now. Coming, Mama. Excuse me. I shall have to go home to tea now.
Well, what do you make of that?
And then I told him who Papa was, and who you were, and who I was.
Yes, dear. Do stop squirming about so. You've mud all over your boots, and I don't want it all over my frock.
Perhaps I shouldn't have told him who we are.
Certainly you should, dear. The Montroses are not to be sneezed at. Certainly not by a mere grave digger.
Gardener, Mama.
Very well, gardener.
Lady Maud went on to say that she actually rather liked the old gentleman and that she would like to see him again, which she did the following week.
Good morning.
Morning, young lady.
Oh, you don't have to call me that, you know. I was only showing off the other day.
Was you now,
eh? I do hope you weren't put out.
Hey, no, I weren't put out.
filled with forget-me-nots, aren't they?
That's right.
They're very pretty.
I like them, do you?
Oh, indeed. Mama prefers roses, but I think forget-me-nots are nicer. Ah, time for elevenses.
What for elevenses?
Don't you know? Cook always has elevenses. It's a sort of tea time, only in the morning. And you have cake or biscuits. Do you like cake?
Oh, well, I guess it. It ain't often.
Oh, then I shall bring you some. Tomorrow.
And so she did. In fact, she took him cake almost every morning. And since it was shortly before spring term, there were plenty of mornings to spare.
Time for elevenses. What sort of cake have we got today, eh, m'lady?
I do wish you'd stop calling me m'lady, Mr. Cruz. My name is Maud.
All right, Maud. What you brought today, then, eh?
I'm afraid I didn't bring any today, Mr. Cruz. You see, I forgot.
Forgot?
Yes, I had something terribly important on my mind, you see.
Oh, I don't see what could be more important than cake.
Well, I do. This.
A locket? Who'll give you this, then?
Mama, she didn't like it all that much and said I could have it. So, I brought it for you.
Me?
Oh, I know lockets aren't really meant for gentlemen, but you remember how you said my hair reminded you of your Mary all those years ago? Well, just you take a look inside.
Well, I never... Is this your hair, then?
I cut it this morning. I thought it might remind you of her every time you looked at it.
Oh, no, my dear. It'll only remind me of you. Oh, dear. If you ain't the nicest, sweetest little... Excuse me.
Mr. Groves?
So their friendship continued right through the summer months, and even into late autumn when the weather changed and grew wet and cold.
For goodness sake, Maud, you're wet through. Stand closer to the fire. Maria, you'd better bring some more towels.
Yes, lady.
Where on earth have you been, Maud? I've had half the household style in the countryside. Well, now, do hurry up with those wet things before you catch a cold. Yes, you haven't already done so.
I didn't see Mr. Gross today.
I'm most displeased with you, Maud. I instructed you that you were not to leave the house. Did I not say it would come on to rain?
Yes, Mama, but you see, tomorrow is Mr. Gross' birthday. He will be 65. And I think we have to get him a present. He's such a nice old gentleman. And terribly lonely.
I have no doubt. Wherever is Maria with those towels?
Mama, won't you come and meet the old gentleman? You never have.
Meet your Mr. Groves? Whatever would I find to say to him?
You don't have to say anything. Simply meet him. See, I bought him this silver penknife. It has a special thing for getting stones out of horses' hooves. Oh, please, Mama, say you will.
Meet him? Well, we shall have to see. And only if the weather is a little more clement. Ah, Maria, the towels.
Well, the following day, although the storm had abated, the weather was still damp and cold, and Fred Groves was not to be found in the churchyard, but in his tiny cottage. Nevertheless, Lady Maud persuaded her mother to come and greet Mr. Groves and take him some chocolate cake for his birthday. But Lady Maud's cold seemed to have really taken hold, and both Fred and her ladyship were most concerned.
I think I should get you to bed this very instant. Perhaps I shall get Dr. Paxton to look in this evening. Oh, dear. I don't like the sound of this at all.
Oh, Mr. Groves, how fortunate. I was about to send Philip for the carriage, but now you've saved us the trouble. Maud, I'm afraid...
isn't at all well.
We're most concerned.
Says I have a chest cold. But my throat is rather sore. It gets me frightfully hot.
Oh, what's he giving you?
All sorts of beastly things.
Well, what about cough drops?
I don't think he believes in cough drops, Mr. Grove.
Funny sort of doctor who don't believe in cough drops. Hey, tell you what, I've got a chemist friend. I'll go and see him tomorrow and get something nice for that throat of yours, eh?
Oh, yes, Mr. Grove. Thank you.
Aniseed?
Right, I have something. Peppermint tea.
Right, I'll see what we can do. Now, about that garden of yours.
Cough drops. Yeah, got a bit of a tickle then?
No, not for me. For that young lady Maud. I went to see her. Don't look too good. Been in bed a fortnight now, coughing and wheezing away like an old un.
Sounds like a touch of bronchitis.
Oh, whatever. My Auntie Eva started like that. I don't like the sound of it. I only hope this here doctor knows what's what.
Oh, Mr. Groves, we're going to need something a little stronger than cough drops. Dr. Paxton says she has pneumonia. Excuse me.
Her ladyship says to inform you that Lady Ball's condition is not improved, but she thanks you for the flowers.
I'm sorry, Mr. Grails, but the doctor absolutely forbids any visitors. Oh, pray, Mr. Grails, pray.
A coma? Oh, Fred, a poor little mite.
Mr. Grove.
Yes?
I have to tell you.
No, you're not going to say that she...
I have to tell you that my little one
my lady.
Grove.
Sit down.
What am I to do? She's gone.
Forget me not, Fred.
Hello, Tom. That's right. Forget me not.
I say, you keep it very nice.
Oh, I promised she'd have her own little corner.
Shame she never got to see. It's a credit to her.
What do you mean? Of course she sees it. Every day. You see this? This locket I wear around my neck. Oh, she's given me that. It's part of her. Oh, she's here, all right. I can feel her. Hear her laughing. Chattering away like she always did. Oh, no. No, she won't ever leave me, Tom. Not my Lady Maud.
Certainly Fred Groves was a changed man. Gone was the bitterness and the harshness. There was a gentleness, a quietness, as he would sit for hours in Lady Maud's little garden, as though waiting for the day when they would once again be reunited. Would you care for the locket? Here. May you share the gentle love with which it was offered. Good afternoon. I shall look forward to seeing you again sometime. Go well.
That was Tales of Antiquity, written and produced by Kenneth Henry.